It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
My question for Ed is, why... Why is it the robots are picking grapes at higher elevations? Like, it's not like it's a higher elevation that people couldn't pick grapes at. They're not picking grapes on Mount Everest.
Or are they?
I just want to know.
Have you ever had Everest grapes?
They're amazing. It's good white wine. Yeah. Here's the thing. I just want to know what elevation has to do with it. That's all. Why is it the robots at the higher elevation picking grapes, but not at the lower elevation?
Is it because there's a lot of people with, like, you know, phobias and being scared of heights, and so you have to pay them more to find more? I don't know.
My younger cousin works as a picker in Humboldt County.
Oh, does he?
Has for a few years now.
Different type of wine.
Yeah, not grapes. Makes good money, though, man. What are you going to do?
I bet makes great money.
Great money.
Strawberries, right?
Actually, tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Soundgarden,
my son watches Peppa. It's tomatoes.
Nobody says tomato. Nobody says potato either.
No, my kid now is mimicking. He says tomatoes, and if he doesn't like something, he tells me it's rubbish.
But he's doing that as a... is your young son doing a bit as a British person?
Yes.
Do you guys watch Hell's Kitchen?
No, Peppa. Did your kids miss Peppa?
I don't know. They watch Caillou.
Caillou. Just Peppa and rubbish.
All right. Well, here's a rubbish Soundgarden for you.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
I'm excited. I'm fired up. You know, it's been a little bit up and down. Didn't know if it was going to happen or not. Just kind of along for the ride like everybody else. And, my agent called me today and said it was going to happen. So excited to bring Julio on board to pair him across from AJ on the other side. You know, it's a really dynamic duo for our side receiver. So looking forward to what he can bring to the table. Obviously, a lot of work in front of us. Going to have to feel each other out and get on the same page.
One of our texters...
Feel each other out and get on the same page. I'm sure that'll take a while.
I'm sorry. One of our texters is implying that when speaking about higher elevations, they're talking about the robots can pick higher on the grapevine for people that aren't very tall.
Oh.
That's not right.
Are you sure?
That's not what you're talking about with higher elevations, meaning like a foot higher because someone's 5'5". Talk about higher elevations like in the mountains. But it did make me kind of laugh. It's because it's for tall people.
Julio Jones would probably be able to.
Yeah.
He's tall.
So Julio Jones goes to the Titans. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill. You know, Ryan Tannehill, what a fun kind of story.
It's a great story. He is a terrific story.
I don't know why, but whenever I think of Ryan Tannehill, my first thought is... I watch Hard Knocks every year. I still do. It's the gateway to fall for me, so I very much enjoy it. And I remember when Hard Knocks did the Miami Dolphins, and Tannehill was their draft pick, and he was holding out. And then they finally got the contract to go. But the first part of Hard Knocks was about this new kid, the savior, coming in, and he finally came in, and then they were super excited about the future of the Dolphins.
Didn't quite pan out, did it?
But he's gone on to have himself a fine career so far.
Ryan Tannehill's had a wonderful career and, you know, got some money out of it out of Tennessee. I don't mean this disrespectfully, although it's going to sound super disrespectful of Ryan Tannehill, but he's like, if a news team wins an Emmy, right, and all 10 of them get the Emmy, he's the guy who writes the byline.
Wow.
That gets the Emmy. Like, when you're surrounded by guys like he is, like, you should be good. If you're an NFL quarterback and you have Derrick Henry and you have A.J. Brown, you have a good line, and now throw Julio Jones in the mix, you should be really good as a quarterback.
3,819 yards passing last year, 33 touchdowns against 7 picks at 106.5 rating.
Dude is killing it.
Seven rushing touchdowns is nothing to sneeze at.
No, flip him and Derek Carr, though.
And one fumble lost all year long.
That's why I like a guy like Derek Carr does that with the Raiders. Put him in Tennessee. Give Derek Carr the keys to the give him the keys to the car that Ryan Tannehill has with the Titans. Watch our MVP caliber quarterback talk of Derek Carr happen. Just saying. I don't think Ryan Tannehill's a better quarterback than Derek
Carr. All right, let me ask you a question. Packers call up the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
They say, we'll trade you Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr and your next 21st round draft picks. And, of course, John Gruden and Mike Mayock say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Carr goes to the Packers. Rodgers goes to the Raiders. Who has a better record next year?
The Packers by, like, a game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I actually think you're right. And that's not to say that Carr and Rodgers are on the same level.
No, they're not.
I like Derek Carr. But I think you're right. Like, what would Aaron Rodgers do with the Raiders? He'd probably, you know,
he'd probably lose a lot of games 42-35.
9-7, 10-6.
I say 10-6, and again, the games you lose, the Raiders put up big numbers. It's just the other team puts up bigger numbers.
Michael Rappaport once called this man Tingus Pingus. He's our next person on Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
Hey, Pia, how do you feel about your fit with this franchise moving forward?
Good question, Tim. How do I feel? I'm good. I try to put in the work, try to work hard, do my part, listen to the coaches, what I'm asked for to do, and that's it. I try to keep it simple for myself, so I'm not overthinking things, and I try to focus on what I can control, and that's being a better basketball player, going into the offseason hungry, wanting to get better physically on the basketball court, and I'm going to put that work in to get better, and then the rest of the stuff will resolve itself. So I try to focus on what I can control.
Uh-huh.
So there's a – when you're dealing with press conferences and athlete answers, I'm gonna clue some people in here.
Uh-huh.
This is how you know a guy is unhappy in a situation. All he ever talks about is, I'm going to get better, uses the word try. Uh-huh. I try to do this. I try to do that. That's implying, like, yeah, I'm trying. They just suck. And, you know, I'm just going to focus on me. That is a clear-cut sign. An athlete is unhappy. I'm going to try, and I'm going to get better. It's all you ever have to hear to know they're unhappy in a situation.
I believe that the Dallas Mavericks would trade Kristaps Porzingis for a second-round pick.
Really?
If they could.
Because you just completely get off the salary?
Get off the salary.
I agree. If that came up and it was like, all right, guys, there is Magic Team B that will take his entire money for a second or a pair of seconds even. I agree with you. I think Dallas makes that move at this point. They try to clear up and go a different direction.
And after seeing a little bit on social media yesterday, I'd like to take this moment to send a message to my fellow Kings fans. And could you turn down the music, please, for a second? No. No.
You don't have the clip?
No.
You don't have the clip?
What clip?
You used to play a clip of a man singing a great song, started with H.
Yeah.
I think that's more apropos.
You know what? You are so correct. Dude, no. No.
You want me to ask the question and then you can cue up the old sounder?
The idea yesterday.
Kristaps Porzingis.
The idea yesterday. Was,
haven't you been traumatized by injured big men enough?
Right. And the idea people had was, well, you know, if they're looking to get rid of him, I mean, why not? So, yeah, if you'd like, feel free. Ask the question.
David.
Yes.
Should the Sacramento Kings inquire about a trade involving Kristaps Porzingis?
Let me do this. Let me ask you. Let me answer that question with a question.
Okay.
You know what? Never mind. I'm not doing it. You know why? You know why?
Because your computer's not working.
Because my computer sucks, and we spent,
and we have a live read we got to do.
We spent how long?
And we're going to be late going
setting this
break.
Up. We've been setting this up for how long?
Way too long.
So disappointing, dude.
Just drive the show right off a cliff.
You know, it's technology.
Cliff taps.
It's technology.
No.
Christopher Laud yesterday on the show, on the afternoon show, said, called him Kristaps Porzingis because he made so much money.
Wow, that's bad. So bad.
Yeah, I know. We have to go to break.
Hell no, to the no, no, no.
No Porzingis.
Hell to the no, to the no, 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 no.
No Porzingis.
Hell no, no,
no, no.
To the no, no.
Nope.
Hell to the no, no.
Should we trade him Porzingis?
No, no, no. Hell to the no, no.
No, 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 no. Wrong song. I know. None of this is my fault, Jay. None of the computer issues are my fault. Let's talk about my friends at Hoblin. You know what? I take that back. I mean, I still want to talk about them. But it's our friends at Hoblin. Okay. Chrysler's Drive Forward events. Your friends, too. Up to 10 grand off MSRP. On the new 2019 Ram 2500 Laramies, there's only 50 to choose from. Handpicked. Which is why they have the best selection in California. And this is your last chance. Now, listen. You got a lot going on at Hoblin right now. A lot of fantastic stuff going on. They just got done with the Memorial Day sales event. Ram Truck Month is absolutely amazing. You know, Hoblit, locally owned and operated. There's a reason why so many go up there time after time after time. Because they'll get you a good deal. They'll get you a great deal. They'll get you the best deal. Period. They've actually gone to their own bank, or should I say a bank, and negotiated an extra low interest rate just for you. What do you need? They care about you after you drive off the lot and more. Never heard of a dealership doing the things Hoblit does for you. See for yourself by stopping by the Hoblit Ram Truck Center. Search, select, and save with their online shopping option at HoblitDodge.com. Best prices. Best selection, period.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, three for madness. Daryl Morey had to pay some money. Let's talk about this Robert Kraft Bentley and make it all about you. And the Suns and the Nets, my goodness gracious. We'll do all that right after this.
One, two, three.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got half time. We'll talk about Dwayne Kuiper announcing some health issues yesterday. Dwayne Kuiper is cooking Kuiper. A lot of Giants fans, including myself, just a big, big, big part of our sports lives.
How long have Kroup and Kipe been a team now?
You know, I'm going to get it messed up, but I know in 87 and 89, it was, I believe it was Hank Greenwald and Ron Fairley. And then they started to assemble the John Miller, Kroup, Kipe group. Dave Fleming joined him later.
Kruko was still pitching in the late 80s, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I want to say it was mid to late 90s.
Okay, so a long time. Long enough. Most Giants fans, especially younger, I would say, what would you say, 35 and under, that's probably...
Their whole lives.
Yeah.
Their whole lives it's been Kruko guy. So, anyways, bottom line, we'll talk about that a little bit. Also, want to promote tomorrow on the program... scheduled to appear 7:30 Dave Cavill, Ace Presidents. We'll follow up that Ann Killian interview from Friday as we continue to dive into the A's stadium issue. We'll have the president of the A's on this very program. And then at 8:05, his second-to-last appearance, at least on a weekly basis. With everything opened up in June 15th here in California, we decided after well over a year of Dr. Richard Pan joining us each and every week, will actually, I believe next Wednesday, will be his last regular appearance with us. And we'll have to get him a cake, maybe. Goodbye.
Dr. Pan strike you as more of a cake or a pie guy?
We'll have to ask him, actually. We'll have to ask Dr. Pan, but what a cool service.
Seems like he would like a good lemon meringue.
You think so?
I do. Dr. Pan strikes me as a lemon meringue guy.
All right. You know what? We will ask. We'll have some fun with Dr. Pan before, because gosh knows that a lot of our conversations, although he's such a sweet guy, have not been the most fun.
No, actually, I would say none of them.
Yeah. In the meantime, three for madness right now.
Daryl Morey got hit with a $75,000 fine for a tweet yesterday.
Yeah.
Should he stop tweeting because he keeps getting fined when he tweets?
Let's just...
his rights, damn it!
I would say this. I would ask Daryl, friend of the show who never comes on. I would ask Daryl this question. Daryl, has Twitter added or subtracted from your life as a whole? Obviously, the big one was his tweet about Hong Kong and China,
right,
which threw the whole NBA. What the NBA thought was going to be their biggest issue of the year. Remember when Daryl Morey's Hong Kong and China tweets? Those were when LeBron James and his Lakers were over there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the NBA thought their relationship with China was the biggest issue they were going to face last year? And then, oh, that virus. But once upon a time, it wasn't sure Daryl Morey was even going to be able to keep his job. There were pressures everywhere. It put Adam Silver in a horrible spot and the NBA. Now, in this one, he tweeted a picture of the Sixers, his very own player, Seth Curry, and he captioned it, "Join him," because he was celebrating, and it said, "Join him." Now, Daryl tried to respond to that by saying, "I'm talking about join him and, you know, sell it. Come on."
Yes.
The NBA said, "Hell to the gnaw, to the gnaw, gnaw, gnaw."
Do you think there is one person on this planet that read that like, "Oh, yeah, I think Daryl just really wanted him to celebrate his brother, too"? One person on the planet. Is there a single soul that does that?
So 75 grand for tampering. And hey, listen.
Which is stupid.
I don't think Daryl Morey. Yeah, exactly. Fine, Daryl Morey, 75 grand for tampering. But Draymond Green can call Kevin Durant from the parking lot. And God knows what else happens.
Talk about it, that it happened. This isn't like some well-placed sources say. No, Draymond Green literally told the story
about it, but you know, that's fine. All right, three for madness number two.
Question two.
Robert Kraft was gifted a Bentley from 76ers co-governor Michael Rubin, yep, Meek Mill, and Jay-Z. If you could receive any gift from three people on your birthday, what's the gift and who's giving
it to
you?
Can I cheat a little bit here?
I mean,
okay.
We don't
We're like to promote cheating, right?
Sure.
Vivek Ranadive, Monty McNair, and Luke Walton, and I'd really like a championship. Aww. In a nice little box with a bow on it.
That's awesome. That's better than mine.
That's what I want.
You know what I want? What? I'm so lame. This is such a loser
thing.
I want a DeLorean gifted to me by Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Leah Thompson. I know, it's lame. I'm a loser.
That's not where I'm going. I actually think that might be better.
Really?
That's really good.
I think a Kings championship in a box.
Really good.
Fine.
Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Leah Thompson showing up at your house with a DeLorean is pretty awesome, dude.
And kind of lame.
Kind of lame.
It's a little
too
lame.
Yeah, it's more, hey, probably more likely you get yours than I get mine. At least this year. At least this year.
At least in the next 20 years.
No, no, no.
Christopher Lloyd is going to outlive the Kings.
No. Wait. I mean, I don't know how to answer that one. I want him to live for a long time, but I don't want the drought to last for a long time.
Uh-oh. We have us one of them there dilemmas.
We'll take a break. Think about it.
Hold on. Yeah, now we can take a break. Yep.
Okay. Yeah! That was nice. Coming up next.
All right.
Shut up, Tim. Marty gives me his orange vest.
Halftime. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. We got to get to the, according to Jay, we got to get to the Suns-Clippers series.
We do.
We'll talk about the Giants call-up. A local kid made good. And speaking of the Giants, Dwayne Kuiper, we'll talk about that. A lot of stuff to get to in the next segment. We'll do it next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of them, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
Speaking of. Welcome back. That's Jay Mars. Going through what we call radio purgatory. Teamed up with me.
In the morning. Not sure how I'm supposed to feel about or respond to that.
Someday Jay will tell you, well, you should see the 3 years I spent working with this one guy. My goodness gracious.
Made me go bald.
Last night, Kevin Durant was being interviewed after the game. How do you take his response here? I want to play this clip.
Tomorrow will mark 2 years since you initially injured your calf. I know you worked your butt off to get to this point, but did you ever think you'd be this good?
Is that a real question? Of course. I mean, yeah. What you want me to say to that? Of course
I mean, it's pretty impressive what you've been able to do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, I mean, that was 2 years ago. I'm looking forward to just getting up tomorrow and going to practice, watching film, and seeing how we can get better. But, you know, I appreciate that. But, you know, that was too long ago.
All right. Well, I'll come up with some more real questions for you next time. Thanks, Kevin.
Love.
I don't know.
Is there a worse feeling in the world than being reporter guy who gets roasted by star athlete on the spot?
It's not easy, dude. Is that okay? So I get the thought process. Listen, say what you want about Kevin Durant, but he is at the highest of high levels at his craft. When there's something a lot of these excellent at their craft people have in common, which is they don't believe that they're going to be great. They know that they're going to be great. It is what fuels and drives them. Did you know you were going to be this great? Yeah, I did. And not in an egotistical way, because that's the only way I know how to be. I get the psychology behind what Kevin Durant's saying, and I appreciate it. And I give him credit for that, because he had to work through it, and he's back, and he's awesome. But is that a real question? I didn't have a problem with the question.
The question was kind of dumb.
The
reporter should know better.
The guy's saying, you jacked yourself up real bad. This was a big time. This wasn't a broken arm. This wasn't an ankle sprain. This was an Achilles. Did you think you'd be at this level? And I think what the reporter's looking for is maybe KD goes, there were times, you know, when I'd be waking up and I was in a boot where I never thought, I didn't know if I'd be at this level. Or even KD saying, yes, every day I woke up with a book. But I think it's a legit question when you're talking about a guy who just blew out a team in the semifinals. It's all coming together, Pepper. He's 4, 5, 6, 10 wins away from being a champion with another team other than the Warriors. I understand it.
I understand, again, on a very basic level, sure.
I don't know if it deserved a, is that a real question?
That's obviously up for debate. It's super snarky on Kevin Durant's part.
Is.
But Kevin Durant's also a snarky person, and as a reporter, you should know that.
He is.
You should already be thinking that, like, yo, I'm going to ask KD. And then think to yourself, like, what kind of answer is Kevin Durant going to give me? There's a big difference between asking Kevin Durant that question versus asking someone who is always going to give super media savvy answers, like a LeBron James, who knows the answer to that question is, like you said, you know, man, I was in a walking boot for however long. And, you know, there were days I doubted myself, but I always knew I could get back to this. Yes, there are guys that are going to do that.
Right.
Kevin Durant ain't that dude.
What sucks about it is that was a setup to a volleyball spike for KD.
Of course.
Acknowledging how great he is, complimenting the man, honoring the man for his road back from rehab, and not only that, switching teams, getting in a different situation, all that stuff. And now he's on the verge of being top of the pops again. It was a setup to a spike in a complimentary and respectful way, and KD chose violence. And I just, come on, dude. I don't mind KD getting loose on Twitter. I don't mind him, You know, he's dealt with so much crap. I don't mind it. People hate when is he petty? Yeah. Does he search his name out? Yeah. Should he spend more time, you know, not doing that? Yeah.
But the other side of that coin is, what would you rather have, an authentic answer or a canned answer?
I would rather have an authentic answer, and I believe that was an authentic.
This is 100% an authentic answer.
As the kids say, that was a real answer. But sometimes keeping it real goes wrong, as a very smart gentleman said once. And I just feel like KD comes off as kind of an ass there.
Like, KD kind of is, though. He's snarky. He's never seems like he's in a good mood.
Which sucks, because Kevin Durant is probably, I would put him in my top four people in basketball easily. I would like a sit-down interview with.
Oh, for sure. I think KD would be great to interview. But would you also say KD is one of those people that, while his legacy will always be intact, the way some people view him is always kind of skewed negatively because of his attitude now?
It's not, well, and I don't know if the attitude feeds into this, but let's just fast forward real quick. Let's say he does get those 10 wins, and let's say the Nets are world champions, and now he's won championships. He's taken the Oklahoma City Thunder to the finals. He won a championship, a couple championships with the Warriors, and then he wins a championship with the Nets. So he's won titles with two different teams. He's been in the finals with three different teams, plus all the accolades and numbers and
on
stuff.
Two different coasts, too.
Right, right. But it's still going to be seen as KD had Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka and, for a second, James Harden on his team, and they could make it happen in Oklahoma City. So then he goes and joins a 72-win Warriors team to get his titles, and then he goes and forms a super team with Harden again and
Kyrie.
And now Kyrie.
Who people have heard of.
Well, and apparently Blake Griffin, too.
Yeah. Blake Griffin no longer a corpse. This just in. He has risen, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big believer that we don't talk enough about the context of winning a championship and the way you win a championship. That matters to me.
Right.
And I do believe Durant's championships, well, you can't take him away. He's an NBA champion.
Yes.
He's a finals MVP.
Yes.
That is 100%.
The league MVP.
The league
scoring
MVP.
Scoring champion.
And he earned all
first
of that.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
100%. And he
first
earned
ballot.
All of it.
Yes,
I want to be very clear.
Yes,
he earned all of that.
Yes, he did.
But Kevin Durant winning two titles in Golden State ain't Michael Jordan winning six titles in 8 years in Chicago. It's just not the same thing.
Sure. Even though Michael Jordan also had two Hall of Famers with
him. Right, but did Michael Jordan go join those Hall of Famers?
He brought them. Does that make a difference?
It makes a huge difference.
Whether you bring Hall of Famers to you or you join Hall of Famers.
It does, and let me tell you why. Because I have said this over and over again. A championship is a team accomplishment,
sure.
Right? Not just the guys on the court, but the coaching, the front office. And when you go out there and you draft guys to, you know, and you build that way, that's different than just cherry picking superstars. It really is.
I mean, Devil's Advocate would tell you Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause didn't draft two of their three Hall of Famers.
If you're going to go super technicality that Seattle technically drafted Scottie Pippen, is that where you're going with that? Not a good technicality.
Hey, find the lie, pal.
Tell me about all those great Sonics games Scottie Pippen played in before the
Bulls
acquired
him. The Bulls had to trade Olden Polynes. Okay?
I know.
That was a risk. Don't slander my guy, OP.
I'm not slandering OP. I'm just saying the risk paid off for Chicago.
MC in the YouTube chat. MC. Words are not actions. They may cause violence when used, but words are not violence. Ridiculous. He woke up and chose violence as it's a kid. No, Kevin,
the kids say it on the TikToks and stuff. I mean, he's probably punched someone before.
KD?
KD's punched someone.
You think so?
In his lifetime, yeah, he's punched someone.
I think about that. That's a question I would ask him.
Have you ever punched somebody?
That would actually be a fun thing, and I'll bet you he'd be there for it. To lead him through 10 questions, James Lipton style, from inside the actor studio, and one of those, have you ever punched somebody? What is the most exotic food you've ever... half the interview with KD would be that. Everybody want you to sit down and be like, Kevin, do you regret anything with it? And maybe we'd ask some of those, but I think it'd be more fun to ask him all that off the
Kevin,
wall
what's
stuff.
The spiciest food you've ever ate?
Right. Right. What junk food are you... It'd be all food. NBC Sports Bay Area. Well, let me back up here because...
Moonwalk.
I want to talk about Dwayne Kuiper. Can you hear that on the radio?
I sure can't. I don't know
is
if you can hear
somebody
the radio.
Being
Pat and Tom are having some fun together this morning.
Okay, because
Cody needs to get back here and get those really two in line.
All right, serious time. Dwayne Kuiper put out the statement yesterday. I'm going to read it verbatim. I wanted to let you know I may be missing a few more Giants broadcasts than usual, and I wanted to share what's going on with me. After some tests and visits with doctors, I was diagnosed with a medical condition that requires me to immediately begin chemotherapy treatment. I feel very fortunate that I have an incredibly talented team of doctors and healthcare specialists who will be assisting me throughout my treatment plan. And, of course, the support and love of my entire family, along with our incredible fans, everybody at the Giants, NBC Sports Bay Area, and KMBR is overwhelmingly and deeply appreciated. I still plan on broadcasting this season, though I may take a few more games off if I'm not feeling well. And I want to thank my broadcast partners for their unconditional support and willingness to step in and cover for me. Thank you for your prayers and for giving me the space and privacy to focus on my health at this time. Well, this was not the adventure I anticipated. I'm staying positive for a quick and full recovery. So first and foremost, you think, pray, whatever you do for Dwayne Kuiper and Cole Kuiper and Glenn and his entire family, of course, his wife, everybody involved. It goes, it's bigger than baseball, obviously, obviously. But our connection to Dwayne Kuiper is through baseball, so that's what we'll talk about. And just listen, first off, I don't want to act like the guy died. I count on him kicking the ass of whatever he's fighting and coming back bigger and better than ever. But I want to celebrate him just in one of those. I like celebrating people while they're here as well. A lot of times you see players, athletes transition into broadcasting, and you talk about how, you know, it's amazing that they could play at that high level and become the broadcaster they have. With Dwayne Kuiper, it's one of the few instances where I actually am amazed that they could play baseball at a high level because he's such a great broadcaster. Like Dwayne Kuiper, and I say this with the ultimate love and respect, as I'm sure you can hear in my voice, that I have for Dwayne Kuiper. A far better broadcaster than a baseball player. I think what one career home run, they always replay it. And by the way,
he had an average of 271
to get to the major
that's,
leagues.
That's not bad.
To get to the major leagues, you have to be the best of the best of the best. Sure. So when we tongue in cheek say that, obviously Dwayne Kuiper, bottom line, at one point was one of the best baseball players on the planet. On the planet. I don't, whatever you want to, they poke fun at his career. He made it. You're looking at his stats right now. How many major league games, how many seasons did he play?
He played, he made his MLB debut on September 9th of 1974 with the Cleveland Indians. Uh-huh. Last MLB appearance, June 27th, 1985 with the Giants.
So he had an 11 season career. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And like I said, he was a 271 lifetime hitter. That's not anything to sneeze about.
And a far better broadcaster than a player. That's not how bad he was as a baseball player. That's how good he is as a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
He does it so perfectly where he can talk about things from a player point of view. When they're interviewing players, the players know he used to play and understands it. And when Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper hooked up, I don't care if you're an A's fan or a Dodgers fan, you got to be able to, you don't just have to be the homer for your own team. Like, I can sit here and say Vin Scully's a national treasure, period, end of statement. I love Charlie Steiner, and we're talking about Dodger broadcasters here.
Yeah.
I can sit here and say that Ken Korak is one of the smoothest broadcast voices I've ever seen and is a legend in his own right. Like, we can look at that point. I think that team rivalries stop at the broadcast booth. And Dwayne Kuiper, to me, is, apologies to John Miller, the Hall of Famer. Dwayne Kuiper, to me, and I think a lot of Giants fans, he is the voice of the Giants, even beyond John, Dave, and anyone else associated with it.
To your point, I was looking up his broadcasting with the Giants. So, literally, retires in 85, starts broadcasting for the Giants in 86. 86 to 92.
Yeah.
I did not know he left for a year to go broadcast in Colorado when they thought the Giants might be moving to Tampa.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
But then
right back in 94 and ever since.
And the thing that he and Mike Kruko do so well, and by the way, Kruk's going through and has been going through his own health issues you can read about. You know, it's cut him down quite a bit on travel. Coronavirus, weirdly enough, helped with that as far as being able to do games from the studio. But – you know, even walking is a challenge for Mike Kruko. Yet they their love for their craft shines through in their broadcast, and neither of them need the money. They're doing it because it's what they were born to do and what they love to do. And props to Crook, again, for, by the way, a 20-game winner in Major League Baseball. Nothing to sneeze at all, Mike Kruko's career. And a guy that I remember seeing live pitch for the Giants when I was a little kid at Candlestick Park.
He was an all-star at the Giants.
Yes, he was. And the two of them together are like your buddies just sitting back and talking about the game sometimes. And what I've always enjoyed, not just with Crook and Kipe, but I always have to say this, with their producers who get zero credit in the world. Baseball is a challenging game to watch for the short attention span crowd, and I'm one of them. The vast majority of what goes on during a baseball television or radio broadcast is nothing. It's nothing.
It's storytelling. And then breaking, and in the middle of your story, every once in a while, and two balls and two strikes to Blanco.
That's exactly right. And when you're in the middle of a July 21st dog days of summer, a road game in St. Louis, it you need to be able to tell stories and entertain. And after so long, you know, the average baseball game is about, what, three to four hours.
Between 3 and 4, which is long.
The average amount of time where action is going on in baseball, they've actually done studies on this. Out of, let's call it 3.5 hours, mm-hmm. just to be fair. I'm talking about swinging of the bat, ball in play, people rounding second, the pitcher pitching. Like, they've timed it. 18 minutes.
Out of a 3.5 hour game.
3.5 hour broadcast.
Insane.
There's 18 minutes of action.
That's a lot of time to fill, isn't it?
Which is why, in a weird way, like, I think hockey is the most difficult game to call of the major sports.
Yeah, that sounds right.
When you combine the names, when you combine the action, you combine the fact that you're
the speed of the game.
The speed of the game, the perch you're at, the view. Hockey is the most physically difficult game to call from a play-by-play point of view. Baseball is the toughest game to call as far as maintaining the audience and entertaining them. Mm-hmm. And what Crook and Kipe did, in addition to telling stories.
And still do.
And still do. Thank you. And again, this is where I compliment their producers, Jay, is their interaction, the ability, and you see a lot of it now, the ability to be in the middle of an at-bat or an inning and find the kid in the right field bleachers licking an ice cream cone, and his little brother is staring at him ready to pounce. And they can spend an entire inning going back and forth from the pitcher and batter to these two little kids and talking about how, you know, little brother's going to get in there, one fell swoop, you know, one false move and see you later. And, oh, look at mom and dad. Oh, now they're breaking you. And they create this little stupid.
They have fun with
they
it.
They have fun.
And that's Kruko the best part.
Xing people out.
Hey, that's still.
I know you don't like that. You got Xed out.
You
got Xed out.
That is a 100% fact.
That's a mark of fame right there, pal. That's an honor.
It was very much, as a Dodgers fan, an honor.
It should have been.
I'm getting booed by an entire left field bleachers and getting Xed out on TV. It's at that point I knew I could be anything in life. An obnoxious fan, definitely at the top.
I just thought it would be nice with. Again, you know, Dwayne Kuiper is still with us, and I'm more than confident he's going to kick ass and be and continue to broadcast and be awesome for years to come. But like we said at the beginning, it's nice when people still are around mm-hmm. and with us, and we can still appreciate their work. They haven't lost a step. And good year, bad year, Giants fans know that they can tune into a game and they can hear Dwayne Kuiper, you know, just his mannerisms and his cadence, you know, his deep, you know,
right.
Strike one, or and his home run calls to me. It's so simple. He hits it high, he hits it deep, he hits it out of here. Just chills. Absolute chills.
It's also a reminder, and again, I hate having to have instances like this
right.
be the reminder, but it is what it is. Appreciate the great things while you have them mm-hmm. still. I think it's so easy, especially in sports, You watch a LeBron James enough times, it's just like, it's LeBron James. You forget, like, no, you're watching literally the greatest person at what they do at their craft on a nightly basis. Kruk and Kipe, again, I've always been honest, not my cup of tea together. Sure. I like Kuiper. I've never been a fan of Kruko, but that's just me.
You're terrible.
That's
your opinion. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. But I know Giants fan adores them, and I understand why. All I'm telling you is don't look at the two of them and that broadcast crew that you adore. Just don't take it for granted that you're going to turn on your TV and Kruk and Kipe are going to be there to call the game for you. Enjoy it. It's special. You don't see chemistry like that often. So really take it in every chance you get because it is truly a unique experience. And you're going to really miss it when it's gone.
Being broadcasters, and that's well said, like them, and we'll wrap it up this way, I think. I think your goal as a play-by-play and or color analyst, if I was teaching people, I could never do it, but I think I could teach people because I'm a nerd about it. Your idea is to be a cushioned sock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to be.
Yeah.
A cushioned sock is worn, and then you put a shoe on. And the best cushioned sock is a sock that you don't really notice. It just makes you more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, you take your socks off at the end of the day and you look at your feet that are not blistered and they're not all jacked up. And you say, thank you, cushioned sock. You've made a difference in my life. But you're never walking around going, you know, I'm wearing cushioned socks. And wow, right. This cushion, you don't notice it.
You only notice it until the cushioned socks are gone and you have to put on like 99%er socks. And it's just a different feeling at the end of the day when you get home.
Socks.
You miss your socks.
You miss your socks. That's, you don't want play by, you don't want the team to stand out. You don't want them to be part of the game. Or I should say I. I don't want to notice them. I want them to just fit in with the game. And added bonus, you know, I mentioned Kuiper's home run call. God bless John Miller and Adios Pelota. But there is nothing that gets me more emotionally stirred as a Giants fan than Kuiper's home run calls. It was the same thing with, I've had this relationship with very few play-by-play voices. Grant with you know, if you don't like that, or oh boy, or blocked by
one.
Yeah, we have got a dip. And I get this physical, spiritual reaction, and my blood pressure goes up, and the play-by-play voice helped to get me there. It's a very rare talent, and obviously something that you kind of homer to.
Sure.
The teams you root you homer to. I totally get it. I'm sure Warriors fans would be talking about Tim Roy and what he does, or Bob Fitzgerald, on and on and on. Dwayne Kuiper does that. Dwayne Kuiper has done that for me, and I just, you know, we've never had Dwayne on the show, and I'm going to choose to wait to request Dwayne.
I was going
to
say, can ask, probably
sure
not going
to
get
everybody wants Dwayne on
that
right now to talk about his journey, and I'm sure he just loves that.
I mean, not to get too inside baseball, I think Dwayne might have some exclusive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's always.
It'd be like that sometimes, bruh.
But, well, whatever.
It's not, but
years from now, when Mr. Kuiper has made a full recovery, I will stalk him someday outside of
a bathroom like you did Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, and I will get
with your phone. Hey, interview time. That won't go awkwardly at all.
You know, that'd be we got a break. That'd be a fun list to come up with.
All time guys ambush coming out of the bathroom.
People related to sports, whether it's an athlete, owner, play by whatever. Where if you met them, you may not say these words, but the spirit where you, if I met Dwayne Kuiper at some point, I would say, I just want to shake your hand and say thank you. I wouldn't have anything crazy. I would just say, I just want to shake your hand and say thank you. Thank you for all your years of awesome and bringing awesome to my life. And that's all I got, man. Can I have a picture?
Can we take an ussy?
Can we take it, please?
In the bathroom.
All right. Well, thoughts and prayers and so much more with Dwayne Kuiper and his family. We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Let's go back to the NBA playoffs. Coach of the year announced. We had the Nuggets and Suns. And before we do, though, I saw this last week. Might as well bring it up. Is Kansas City going to make a move for the Sacramento Kings? They may or may think so. We'll talk about that next.